titled, What is in Your Heart? You know, it may seem easy to say the right things, but it requires authentic commitment and devotion to God to truly walk with Him. It is never enough to just nod approval towards God or agree in principle with His word while going about living our lives exactly as we please. We are called to live our lives devoted to the Lord. So we're going to continue in the book of Proverbs today and look at some more foundational principles. So our first scripture is Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And this kind of, in a little nutshell, gives us the benefits of wisdom or how we receive it. So beginning at verse 1 in Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge and understanding. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Let's pray. Father, teach us your ways. Open our eyes to see your truth. Open our ears so that we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Grant us a clean heart, one that desires to know you. Teach us your word. Fill us with your wisdom and understanding. We want to walk with you. Amen. You know, every aspect of our lives must be devoted to the Lord. To walk with God means that we don't just aimlessly walk along the path of our lives, wandering and drifting along. I can almost see, you know, even a young boy walking along a dusty path, kicking a can down the path, or picking up a stone and giving it a toss. We can't live our lives just wandering and drifting along. So it means that we stay on the path of righteousness through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The person who is compelled by the love of Jesus and is empowered by His Holy Spirit does the will of God from their heart. So only by putting God's word in our minds will we learn to live wisely and righteously. Then we can become victorious over sin and His word. Let's look at Psalms 119, verses 10 and 11. This tells us how to keep ourselves pure and how to resist immorality, that it's so prevalent in this ungodly environment in which we live. So verse 10 in Psalm 119, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So number one, how can believers keep their lives pure? Well, I found 8 things. By making an irreversible decision to remain loyal to God's written word. By seeking God in prayer, by memorizing the word of God, by looking to God for our guidance, by standing for God's truth, by rejoicing in what God says, by weighing the outcome of God's ways over the world's ways, and number eight, by never becoming too busy to read and study the Word of God. You know, the enemy can keep us so busy doing good things that by the end of the day, we're so wore out, all we want to do is crash and not spend any time in his word. Let's turn to John 15, verse 7. What is the secret to answered prayer? It is remaining in Christ. So verse 7 says, and this is Jesus saying this, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given unto you. So the more intimate that our life in Christ is through prayer, fasting, worship, meditation on, and study of the scriptures, the more we will walk and live in the nature of Christ as we learn to stand on the words of God that have moved from head knowledge and into our hearts. Now think about it. If you belong to Jesus and you are his child, put this in the perspective of when you were home. Did you have to ask your mother if you could go to the refrigerator and get a glass of milk or a drink of water? Did you have to sit at the table and say, please, please, can I eat? No, you just went and did it. You went to the fridge. This is your home. Well, that's kind of like our relationship with Jesus. We have to believe him. We have to trust him. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is a scripture that many have memorized. And it's a wonderful scripture. I know it comes into my mind many times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. When we are seeking God for direction and guidance for our lives, we must have the assurance of knowing that God's promises are true. Many times we have asked ourselves, what am I to do? What is God's will for my life? Now what? You know, and we might think we know. We've got a plan, and it might be a good plan. But when we look to the Lord, his plan is perfect. Even if with our natural eyes we can't see what he's doing. So trusting in the Lord with all our heart is the opposite of doubting God and his word. We are his children, so we can be confident in the fact that our heavenly Father loves us and he will take care of us. Faith consists of belief and trust. Faith involves not only believing the truth about Jesus with our mind, but it is also responding to him with our heart, and that's our inner being, and it's our whole person. So it is not just an outward profession, but an inward, sincere attitude of the heart. Jesus must be Lord in all of our life, at home and in church, as well as in every other sphere of life. We are to trust God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. One meaning of the word trust means leaning your whole weight upon Him. We don't trust or put confidence in ourselves. Instead, we put our confidence in God and not in the wisdom of man. We must acknowledge Him in the affections of our heart, in the thoughts of our mind, and the decision of our will. This means that our Lord has a right to be on the throne of our lives in complete control. It is built on relationship. Our part is to lean on, trust in, and acknowledge Him. God's part is His unfailing promise to direct our path, to direct our steps. So number two, what is our response to externals and our most important task? We're going to be looking at Proverbs 4:23. You know, all of our actions are based on how we interact with the world around us and with our Lord God. So what is the most important? What we are on the inside or what we project on the outside? Proverbs 4:23 tells us to take care of what is on the inside. So what are we to guard? Well, it says above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Why is this so important? Because our behavior has its root in the type of person we are. What we pay attention to will inevitably show up on the outside by our actions. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus again is speaking. Luke 6:45. Jesus says, "The good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks." So ask yourself, is there any purity in what we're saying? Or is it polluted by falsehoods and curses? Number three, what is the heart of a person? You know, we're not thinking of just our beating heart here. The heart is the center of our being, and it determines our outward behavior and must be regenerated. Well, what does that mean? What does the word regenerated mean? It means to reform spiritually or morally, to form, construct, or create new, to be spiritually or morally revitalized, restored, refreshed, and renewed. So without an inward change, no one can do God's will. God directs us to apply our hearts to understanding, to keep His commandments in our hearts, and to trust Him with all of our hearts. Our heart reflects or reveals the kind of person we really are. It reveals to others our attitudes and priorities. What is on the inside of us finds its way out in one way or another. Why? Because it is a driving force behind our thoughts, decisions, conversations, desires, and emotions. You know, we can act pretty good when things are going well, but what happens when you're tired or you're stressed out or an unseen emergency arises? Who are you then? You know, Friday night's football game turned into a hard one for our family. Our grandson Blake, who is the head quarterback, was playing his heart out. And I think he made all of the touchdowns. He had a wonderful game. But the game became tied. And in overtime, Blake was hit hard, was thrown down, and we could see him writhing in pain. And people were running to see. Well, what do you do then as you're sitting in the sidelines watching and you don't know what's happening? Well, for John and I, we just began praying in the Spirit. You know, we don't always know what to pray or how to pray. We need Holy Spirit sometimes to direct our mouth to say the direct words to God. Well, he broke his fibula, which is the small bone in his leg. Don's laughing at me right now because I probably didn't pronounce that right. But anyway, he ended up in emergency, of course. And, you know, we went home and we continued to pray. But, of course, we were waiting to hear. And Amanda sent a picture of Blake. And he's in, you know, emergency, on the bed. He's got his leg all wrapped with a thumbs up. Now, to me, that shows what's on the inside of a person. You know, he isn't going to get to play football the rest of the season. But the good news is that he's still part of the team. He can go and to all of the games and sit with the team. He can go to the meals. He'll just have to be on the sideline. What you are on the inside will come out in the day that you really need it. Number four, we cannot hide our true nature or our true identity. It may be tempting to think that we can act the part of a Christian by sheer force of will, never revealing to others the real thoughts and desires that we harbor in our hearts. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Jesus informs us that it is impossible to hide our true identities. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I know we use this a lot for offerings, for giving, but it is the guiding principle of our lives to serve God. By our actions, we reflect the heart of a servant. And to those around us, we see Jesus in each person. If, on the other hand, our desire is to acquire more things and put activity before God, no amount of religious activity will mask our real passion. If you treasure earthly things, then your heart becomes enslaved to them. If God's kingdom, heavenly things, his word, his presence, his holiness, and relationship to Him are your treasure, then your heart will be drawn to the things of the kingdom, and your life will be heaven-bound, and you'll be looking for the return of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. The same thing is true of our speech. Let's look in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 33 through 34. Jesus here is giving a strong rebuke to the Pharisees. You know, they tried to follow all of the rules. They dressed in their fancy garments. And they tried to tell everybody else what to do and how wonderful they were. But this was the rebuke that Jesus gave them. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Before I read verse 34, when you look at a fruit tree, you can tell if it's apples or oranges, right? You know what's on the tree. Well, I want to use our peach tree as an example. You know, sometimes you're out there picking and you see this gorgeous peach. Well, then you pick it and a whole one side of it's missing because the squirrel ate it. You know, the fruit was bad. Of course, it had to be thrown out. And if it gets too ripe, it's rotten and it drops on the ground and nobody wants it. So Jesus says we're recognized by our fruit. In verse 34, he gets very stern. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So listen to someone for a little while, and you will readily observe the truth of this statement. If a heart is attuned to God's word and spirit, the conversation will be always full of grace and it's seasoned with salt. What do we do when we season something? We make it tasteful. We make it so it tastes good. So in other words, it marks the purity and not corruption. This does not mean that we rule out fervent or strong words when they're necessary. Just as Jesus could bring forth a strong rebuke, we must also rebuke false believers who are enemies of the cross. By contrast, if anyone's driving ambition centers around self-fulfillment, in one area or another, he will continually direct every conversation to his interests and his personal achievements. Have you ever run into someone and you go, oh, let's run. I can't talk to them. Can't talk to them. You know exactly what they're going to be talking about, and you've heard it and heard it. I know we have, and you kind of run the other way, don't you? If you possibly can. Or you make some excuse. Number 5, the core advice. Back to Proverbs 4:23, tells us that the heart is the wellspring of life. And it says, above all else, guard your heart, for what is it? It's the wellspring of life. You know, when we visited Israel, I don't know if you realize this, but the Sea of Galilee comes from a fresh well or from an underground spring. You can see it literally come up on the side, and that water shoots up and it fills that entire area with fresh spring water, good water. And if you look at the Dead Sea, There's no outflow. It's stagnant. It's full of salt and minerals. Nothing can live in it. You know, it's good for your skin. You know, you can go and there's many things that are made from the Dead Sea. But following God and knowing His ways involves total commitment to seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. You know, the Bible says much about the heart. It is the throne room of the Spirit, the holy of holies of our body's temple. It is the reservoir from which the issues of life flow. If we find that our hunger and thirst for God and His kingdom is diminishing, we must put in check our priorities, repent of our lukewarmness, and pray for a new desire for the Lord and His favor. Failure to guard our hearts is a departure from the paths of safety, and it leads to entrapment in a destructive snare. You know, the enemy is always out to trip you up, to trip us up. He's always got a snare there that wants to pull and make you stumble. So the more we take God's word to heart, the more we internalize His truth so that it becomes a part of us, the more our hearts will be guarded by His truth. You know, I used to tell my kids if they spent too much time on their phones or whatever, I'd say, garbage in, garbage out. What you put in comes out. So we've got to be careful where we're spending our time. And you know, the single most important manifestation of wisdom is a relationship with Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Since Jesus has become for us wisdom from God, showing us what it means to be righteous, have a righteous relationship with God, modeling holiness, and offering us redemption, He invites us to come to Him. He was our example. He is who we can learn from. If we follow Him, we can live our lives in the right direction. One thing is for certain, living life according to what God deems to be wise means that we can't pride ourselves in our own insight. Our only reason to boast is in the fact that God's Holy Spirit is at work in us, changing our hearts. Life filled with fellowship with Jesus enables us to live a life to its fullest. That means whatever is thrown at us, we can stand on the truth of God's word. He will bring us through, and He will set our feet on the right path. Life isn't easy. You know, we're still here on earth, and we are attacked by the enemy. How we live our lives is a testimony to those around us. So again, Jesus, living in fellowship with Him, enables us to live even here, life to the fullest. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for not allowing You to have complete control over our lives, and that we depend sometimes on our own intellect Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Your way is the only way to eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me of all wickedness. Lead me on the path of eternal life. Fill me with fresh fire that I may burn with love for you. Amen. I have a ministry I like to follow, and this was the card that he gave, and it's a picture of a huge castle or encampment. And it's, the scripture is, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Let him be your tower. Let him be your stronghold. Have a wonderful week.